Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to this one-off episode of Headstrong with me, Louis Strong. Headstrong is a podcast where I sit down with a number of individuals in the public eye to talk to them about their lives and their careers. But notably, I want to talk to them about their vulnerabilities to understand what the word headstrong means to them. And to me, it means to believe in yourself, to talk about your vulnerabilities and reinforce your self-worth. The reason for this one-off episode of Headstrong is because of the recent test win against Pakistan in Pakistan for nearly 17 years. I was joined by the opening batsman, Ben Duckett, who scored 100 on his return to the test match side. We chatted about his return to test cricket, the atmosphere within the England dressing room, and his mental health, and how that's gone up and down throughout his career. So I really hope you enjoy this episode of Headstrong. But first, a quick note from our sponsor for this episode, which is Sixes Social Cricket. Cricket, but not as you know it. Sixes reimagined the age-old game of cricket for the modern socialite. Precision sports tech and a global leaderboard meets world-class hospitality. You can feel the thrill, you can be the drama, and you can play the game of cricket. You can book at sixescricket.com using the code HEADSTRONG20. That's HEADSTRONG20 for 20% off net bookings, valid in January and February. So head to sixescricket.com to experience the game like you never have before. Now, let's crack on with the episode.
Ben, thank you so much for joining me on Headstrong. How's it all going?
Yeah, it's good. It's a pleasure to be on. I'm all good, thank you.
I mean, you have had an enjoyable day off today, coming off the back of what can only be described as an incredibly exciting and fresh win in what is nearly 18 years in Pakistan. Talk me through those emotions firstly. Ending that game on such a high, having all those people round the bat, what was that like to share that with the team?
Yeah, it's pretty special. I think obviously I'm fresh into the team. It's obviously amazing to be back involved with this squad. The whole week was just a bit of a roller coaster. We weren't sure if we were going to field a team before day one. The whole squad really was in bed ill. Kind of made the decision on morning of day one, and I'm pretty glad we did. It was from start to finish, really, it was almost a perfect game on a pretty dead wicket. And to be honest, there was only one team that actually deserved to win. So, yeah, pretty good. It was us.
Before we talk about the illness that went through the camp, you were selected to be in the team and you were flown out following the boys down in Australia. What was that like? Did you know that you were going to get in the starting 11? Was there some apprehension yourself about getting in the starting team? Or were you kind of going there ready to play?
Yeah, I was definitely getting ready to play. Obviously, I was in the squad for the last game of the summer when Johnny got injured. So, yeah, I had a pretty rough idea that I was going to be starting. But yeah, I was kind of preparing for both. But yeah, training wise, I was preparing, and I kind of knew a couple of days out that I was going to play. And even, you know, I played in Abu Dhabi and started in the warm-up game, which gives you a pretty good indication. So, I mean, generally, if you're in an England squad, you train as if you're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. But then we have this illness debacle that just ran through the team. I mean, that's chaos. How many of the fellas in the starting 11 were suffering?
I think all but maybe four or five.
No.
Actually, no, starting 11. And there was probably eight or nine, I think. Well, obviously Jaxie then came in because he was all right, but
yeah,
I mean, we were still ill day one. It was, you know, we kind of made a decision that we were gonna get out there and play, and thankfully we won the toss and batted. But I was nowhere for most of my innings. I was kind of trying to save all my energy towards, you know, each ball I faced.
It's not a bad day one if you're suffering ill and turning up.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously, rather have been fully fresh and gone on. And, you know, I was very disappointed. I that should have been a big 100. So, obviously, I was over the moon to score three figures. But, yeah, I'm pretty disappointed I didn't go on and get a big score.
Despite the pitch kind of conversations and surrounding that, regardless of what the pitch was like, there was a result, and that's what's incredible, and that comes from the mentality, I have no doubt. But from you personally, going into this, were you feeling on good form? Because you've just been out in Pakistan as well for the T20 series beforehand, which must have put you in a good place.
Yeah, it's generally my game, it's probably the best I've felt ever in my life. Obviously I had a bit of time off after that Pakistan series, and I didn't really hit any balls until maybe a week before I flew out. But yeah, I'm at a stage now where I can kind of do that. And then, you know, when I do go into the nets, it feels like I've, you know, not been away for too long. So yeah, I'm in a fairly good place. And yeah, obviously the pitch was a nice one to bat on, but I think we saw in my second innings that anything can happen with a new ball. So yeah, it was still nice to get 100 in the first one.
What was that emotion like for you, that the second innings?
Yeah, really tough. We were in a situation where, you know, it was just going to be go out and have some fun. And I love those moments. And yeah, I was, you know, no matter how flat the wicket is, you can always get out with a new ball. But yeah, I was pretty gutted. But I'd have taken 100 and a golden duck at the start of the game.
Would have got good odds on that as well.
Yeah.
Despite, you know, let's talk about the England Test team right now, because it's in a probably past the transitional phase now and into a stage of such development and opportunity. It's really exciting, especially as a fan and someone who watches it. But what's that team atmosphere like with McCullum and Stokesy at the helm?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's extremely relaxing. You know, it doesn't feel like you're in a test match dressing room. You know, it's I've never kind of experienced anything like it. And I think a lot of people are probably thinking, you know, when's it going to end? And I don't, it won't, you know, I think we're going to lose games the way we play. But almost the harder the conditions, I think the harder we'll go. You know, I think the way that we bowled on that pitch shows everything. You know, the fields that Stokesy set, it's almost like a club game at times when, you know, some of the fields we've got, but it makes it that far more enjoyable. Yeah, it's I don't think I'll play in a better team environment in my career.
I mean, it's being talked about a new brand of Test cricket, which can obviously make it so much more enticing to a new audience. Do you think that it is really reframing the format?
I think those kind of things are down to, you know, what people think. Honestly, it's just the most simple game plan that we have as a team, and that's all it is. There's no like pre-planning or, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It's genuinely just go out there and enjoy yourself. You know, I'm pretty sure I could go and scoop my first ball in the second test, and if I missed it and got out, Baz McCullum would probably tell me to go and hit it for six next time. It's that kind of atmosphere, which is so good, because I've played Test cricket before, and it was, you know, it's brutal, and I think it has been for years. You know, the way the media are, you know, in that dressing room, there's no care in the world about anything else outside, or, you know, it's basically just, you know, play your game. The team will back you, and honestly, they don't care about what anyone says outside of that dressing room.
Is that term Bazball used at all in the kind of England setup, or is that just kind of this thing that's just been made by the media?
Yeah, never. I'm pretty sure that Baz hates it.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Yeah, so obviously my first game, I mean, if that is such a thing, then it would definitely happen last week. But no, that would never be used, and certainly not by him.
Yeah. So now let's talk about your return to Test cricket. As you mentioned there, you took, you know, there was a significant period of time where you weren't in the England Test team, but you're back in now. Do you feel in yourself that there's pressure on your shoulders to stay and perform? Do you worry about your performance, or do you feel like you've got this maturity now as an older individual, and with the kind of the management that Stokesy and McCullum are, that there's actually a lack of pressure?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally the only pressure previously is the media and yourself. And yeah, I'd feel under pressure because I always want to do well in school runs. So in my own mind, yeah, of course there is a little bit. But they've already stated and come up to me and said that I'm going to get a good run. You know, no one's ever said that to me before or anything. And that's kind of what I need. I think this game is a perfect template of how I play cricket. I got 100 and then I got naught. You know, as an opener, you don't want to get 30s or 40s and chip away and stay in the team. Like for me, I want to get none, or I want to, you know, go and get a good score where it's going to put us in a position to win. So you definitely need that time as an opener. There's going to be series where it's really tough and you might average 20 in the series, but then if I go and average 70 in another one. I think this is probably, yeah, the least pressure I'd have in a test environment. And that's, you know, come from captain and coach and all the players. There's certainly no pressure from anyone else. So the only pressure I probably will find is in myself, and that's trying to score runs. But I'm just trying to, you know, enjoy it, and, you know, take all that pressure off myself. And, you know, obviously scoring runs in the first game, you know, in a small series kind of takes all the pressure off the rest of the series. I've come here, you know, got 100. You know, I really want to walk away now with another one. Now I've got one, but I didn't think I'd have an opportunity to score a test 100, you know, a few months ago. So it's always nice to start well. I think that takes a lot of pressure off, and kind of you know that the team will back you once you've performed.
Did you overthink that return to Test cricket? Because you're thinking about a couple of months ago going, well, this might not have even been an option. And then after your first test, you've turned up and you had this enormous gap. You were performing still in franchise cricket around the world in the county setup, but returning, did you overthink that? Were you going through possibilities in your head, or are you quite good at compartmentalizing that?
No, not at all. Probably when I was like 22, 23, I thought about playing for England, whereas I'd probably say the last 2 to 3 years, I've not even thought one bit about playing for England. I've just played for Notts and enjoyed it and scored runs. And, you know, generally I kind of was at peace in my mind that I would never play Test cricket ever again. And that probably took pressure off me at Notts. And yeah, now I've just got to do the same thing for England. And honestly, you can think so much in your own head and put yourself in all these situations, but you've just got to back yourself. And, you know, there's a reason why I'm here, and you've just got to kind of trust the process and find ways to score now and just to stay in the team.
I mean, how are you in terms of your own mental health now? It's kind of, you're 28 now, and see, you know, those years of being a fresh 21, 22 year old probably seems some time ago, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say pretty good. I'm actually, you know, thankful now. I've been through numerous different tough phases of my career over the time, and I've probably found ways to get by and get through things. And I've always been fairly strong. So I've kind of, you know, I've never helped myself, and even going back to school, always getting in trouble and stuff. So someone's trying to call me here.
That's all right. Don't worry.
Mentally now, and obviously coming with age now, as you say, I'm 28 years old. I'm at peace where I know my game inside out, and I think that's a good place to be. I think, you know, you can always, whether you're struggling with runs or whatever, you can always fall back to, I know how to score runs. I know how I will, you know, the best way that I can perform. And I think that's probably where I'm at now.
Do you kind of, upon reflection, is there anything that you regret in kind of those formative years? Or do you think actually to have experienced certain things, it's got you actually back in the test side in the sense that you've actually just scored a ton and there's no point regretting something?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to say. You know, there is actually no point in regretting anything. You know, things happen. And I think if you're regretting on something that happened whenever it was 4 or 5 years ago or whatever, that's probably not going to do me any good. I'd rather try and turn it on a positive. And, you know, where I say that I'm pretty strong and I deal with things well because of what I've been through in my career.
So what is there anything that you in particular do for your mental health that helps you? I mean, we saw that you were out playing some golf today, but anything else that you get up to?
Nothing in particular. I've had a girlfriend for a year now, which is probably helped my career. Probably taken a lot of pressure off my cricket. You know, when you're a young single lad, you know, you're playing cricket really for yourself. You know, whereas I found it's quite a good way to switch off. You know, she definitely levels me and doesn't care if I get 0 or 100 or whatever it is.
It's just a game, Ben.
Well, that's it. And it's only going to last another maybe 10 years for me. And then there's more to life after that. So yeah, I've certainly, you know, put less pressure on myself over the past year or two.
How do you find managing cricket in the calendar? Because that is such a popular conversation in the press nowadays. And, you know, you spend time playing cricket all year round. How do you find that and the pressures on your body, but also the head and being away from home?
Yeah, it's tough in the winter, definitely. You know, in the summer, it's fine. You're just busy. You know, spending time away from home with friends, family, you know, girlfriend, like I said, it's, you know, it's pretty tough in different time zones. You're playing all day. You might not speak really much for a few days. I guess it's just kind of non-negotiable. You just got to get through it. There's no way around it, really. So, and it's probably tougher on the other people. You know, I'm out here pretty busy playing, you know, the sport I love. But I don't think there's any cure for that. You know, you probably speak to Jimmy now. He's been touring for 20 years. It's probably just as tough now as it was when he was, you know, 22 years old. So, yeah, you just got to find ways of getting through that.
Well, I suppose one of the luxuries you both have now is that, you know, FaceTime and everything. I mean, I can't imagine touring 20 years ago when the internet was just kind of in those early years as well. It must have been so difficult.
Yeah, it depends who you ask. Some of the old guys might have loved it back then, getting away from kids. And
that's so true. Absolutely right. I mean, what is mental health like in terms of cricket? Because I know the PCA do a lot. I'm interested to ask you what it's like in some kind of maybe county setups, some franchise setups, and then in the England dressing room. So let's talk about the kind of England first and what that support looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'd just go by this group. It's a very close group over here. You know, I'm fresh into it and there's so much support around you. You know, we've got a youngish coaching group who have spent time away from family and stuff. And there's so many people you can kind of speak to. We haven't actually got a psych on this trip, but they're normally available for you. You know, you've generally got a couple of closer friends or people around your age who are going through similar things. So yeah, there's numerous people you can speak to. You know, franchise is probably a bit tougher because you're playing in a team where most of them are from that country. So, you know, you're only one of a few people who are actually away from home, but that's, I think generally you get pretty close with your other overseas players because you've all got something in common.
Anyone come to mind from your kind of time away that you've really developed a friendship with?
No, I mean, plenty, every team I've played in. Yeah, like there's not really one name that comes to mind. I mean, there's so many different ones, and you play in different teams, different people every single time. But I'm a pretty simple-minded person. I don't tend to get too deep, or you know, with people I'm not very close with. So I generally find myself just speaking back home or speaking to my girlfriend or something.
I'm just going to interrupt the podcast to tell you about Sixes Cricket, the sponsor for this episode. They're popping up all over the country. You can play in London, Birmingham, Manchester, and now in Leicester. Gather, celebrate, and unite your team for laughter and healthy competition. Most importantly, no experience is necessary. And you can get 20% off net bookings using the code HEADSTRONG20 at checkout on the website sixescricket.com. That's valid for bookings in January and February. So head to the website sixescricket.com for 20% off net bookings using the code HEADSTRONG20. Now, back to Ben.
So something that we need to talk about is injuries in terms of cricket, because I always think cricket injuries often put you out either for one match or you're out for a significant period of time. And you have experienced that where you kind of had to, you know, as you put it, relearn to hold the bat. What's that like kind of when you're injured and you're watching your friends, your colleagues playing the game that you love, but also your job, and you're just not able to be there? What's that experience like?
Well, I'm probably actually the wrong person to ask because I didn't actually miss a game when I did that. Or maybe a couple. It was back end of the last game of the summer, maybe. And I did, I had the operation in the winter and I came back early.
Oh, fine.
Because I came back early for the first game of the season and I should have waited, you know, I missed the first two or three games. But I've been so lucky with injuries, touch wood. And generally, you know, I dislocated my thumb last year, but didn't miss any games. I can only imagine what it is like and how tough it is. I mean, with the schedule being so busy, at times, you know, a break might be a good thing, strangely. But I mean, if you were talking about, you know, a county cricketer who, you know, only plays 6 months a year and kind of works in the winter and then gets injured and misses the whole summer, I can only imagine, you know, how tough that would be. So, as I said, thankfully, I've not missed too many chunks of games.
So let's look at getting into cricket then, because I know that you were at Stowe, but where before that, where did cricket fit in? Was it something that your family's always done? Is this kind of always been a part of what you remember in your childhood?
Yeah, my dad's cricket mad, and you know, he played a bit in his time, and it was really all sports growing up. Football, rugby, hockey, cricket was just probably the one I was best at. But yeah, from probably the age of five, I was, you know, in the living room, my dad's throwing me a tennis ball and I was hitting it. Yeah. So it's just a sport I kind of loved playing and grew up watching. Yeah, and as I say, especially with my height, it was probably the only one I could go into.
I mean, you seem like a good scrum half.
Could have been a scrum half, yeah. I always wanted to play fly half though.
Of course. No, but what was that? What did it look like getting into the professional setup? Because I know there's various different routes, particularly if you're from in the north or in a certain city, you can go into different avenues. But what was your avenue into getting that first professional contract?
Yeah, it was a pretty smooth, you know, I played a few second team games from maybe 15 years old. And then I made my debut at 17. I was at lower six at school. So, and that was when I signed my first contract. So, thankfully for me, it was a pretty easy and smooth, you know, I know a lot of players who had to work hard and didn't get a go till they're 21, 22, but that's where I was so thankful. I was at kind of a smaller county as in Northants, and there were so many opportunities to play, and I kind of broke in and I didn't even have to perform overly well to keep my spot, just because we weren't the strongest side. So yeah, I kind of broke in from maybe 18 or so and kind of played most games since then.
Do you think that cricket just took the priority at school in terms of over the education side of things?
Yeah, I mean, I'll use cricket as an excuse, but who knows, if I wasn't, you know, going to be a sportsman, I might have knuckled down a bit harder. But I don't know, I kind of knew that, you know, I don't think you ever know how good you are, but I kind of knew that I'd probably be all right and I'd play a bit. And I think, you know, playing my first game in lower six, my upper six was a disgrace. So I didn't do too much work.
I had quite a lot of skiving.
Yeah, well, I only did two A-levels, so I had so much time off anyway, and I was, yeah, one-to-one with my coach at school, and I mean, I was, yeah, as you said, Stowe boarding school. I had a great time, and I think teachers had kind of given up on me by upper six. They kind of understood that I was going to be playing cricket, so.
Have you got any good stories? Go on. It's got to be something.
I have hundreds of stories, but I mean, I was always in trouble at school. Teachers kind of liked me, but I was always making mistakes, and I got suspended two or three times, and yeah, I definitely had my fun.
I think all the best have been suspended. We're all guilty of that.
That's it. You don't have fun if you don't.
It's the part of the learning process, as you've learned in your career as well. It's essential.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
What about talking about kind of then maybe a learning process? Did you remember any particular initiations joining any teams? Is there anything that comes to mind? Or is that kind of really the unwritten code to not talk about it?
No. I mean, I've only had, well, two real teams. I did initiation when I was young at Northants. I sang Call Me Maybe in Barbados. I mean, I was so nervous then. Yeah, I was that's probably the most nervous I've ever been, because I was only 18. Yeah, I was shitting my pants then. and then Notts was the same. He had to do like an act, and me and Joe Clark, we sang Goodbye My Lover by James Blunt, but we changed the whole words. So we kind of made it about us and about Notts, and actually it went down really well. And I think we did it at the end of the night, because Chris Nash was in charge and he knew it was going to be good. So by then we were pretty drunk. So it took all the nerves off.
That's absolutely quality.
Yeah.
Great that. Get you on Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I think drunk everyone seemed to, it was all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how have you, if you don't mind me asking, how do you find that relationship with alcohol when it comes to like downtime? Because I imagine when you're playing, it's so difficult to, you know, you want to stay focused and that's essential. But then when you do have downtime, you want to let off some steam. And probably when you were younger, more so than now, I imagine, that was probably quite difficult to find the balance.
Yeah, I got the balance horribly wrong. When I was at Northants and I was a young lad and like career was going well, my mates were at uni, you know, I was going out far too much. I was kind of a uni student and playing cricket, and thankfully it was going well. So, you know, cricket's quite a good sport in that sense that you can still have a good time. You can have a few beers. I mean, you could have a beer after day one of a test match and still, you know, that's not something that people, I'm sure Baz McCullum and Stokes here let me have a couple of pints after getting some runs on day one. But yeah, it's just, I think you get to an age and some people get to it quicker than I did. You know, it probably took me till when COVID happened, but you know, knowing a time and a place, and if I'm going to have however many beers on the weekend, you know, I'm going to go for a run in the week or something. And yeah, as a young lad and at Northants, I got that horribly wrong. I just played cricket and got on the lash with my mates and had a great time. And we spoke about regrets and I kind of don't regret it. You know, I had such an amazing time, had great fun off the pitch and some amazing memories on it. And, you know, I think some of the best memories you'll have throughout your whole career won't actually be on the pitch. It'll be in the pub that night after, or, you know, a pub crawl with the lads at the end of the season or whatever it might be. They're where actually the great memories come from.
I think that's exactly right. One of my favourite moments of watching England cricket is actually when I woke up to the news of when the security were kicking some of the boys out at like 6 a.m. of the hotel lobby, because it was just like, what are you doing? And that's just, I imagine that's just like a great experience, sharing that with the oppo, and you're just still just having an epic time. Or when you see Leachy like reenacting that single on the pitch, it's just class. Those are the moments.
Well, that's it. I mean, obviously I'm in Pakistan now, so the celebrations weren't too great. We were just sat in a team room, but you know, I'd love to be involved at, you know, beat Australia at Lord's in the summer or something, or the Oval and sit on the outfield and have a few beers. You know, that's something that I'd love to do.
So, talking of that, are the Ashes a big goal of yours for 2023?
Yeah, I mean, it's in my hands, really. So, you know, there's potentially, luckily, there's only maybe 4 or 5 tests before then. And, you know, I've been told I'm going to get a good run into the side at the top of the order. So, you know, putting two and two together, that gives me a pretty strong chance of being there. But, you know, lots of things can change. For me, it's just to try and cash in on some flat wickets this winter, try and get some runs under my belt, try and get ahead of the game. And I mean, as I said, like a few months ago, I never thought I'd play test cricket ever again. So, you know, the thought of how different this summer could look for me compared to every other summer. You know, I've never really been involved in the summer. So, you know, a potential opportunity to go and beat Australia and England. We won't say a goal, but definitely something that I'd be buzzing to be a part of.
I mean, exactly. I mean, it's one of those experiences that you know that each day of a test match will be sold out. And that's just such an amazing thing for test cricket. But also, it's just one of those fiercest rivalries with Australia and England. Are you looking forward to kind of going toe-to-toe? Because I bet you've met some of the Australian guys in your franchise cricket. But, you know, there's still that, you know, I just think about the sledging with David Warner. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'll be sledging, that's for sure. Not without bowling attack, anyway. but yeah, I don't know many of the test team, actually. The Australian, probably know maybe one or two. But yeah, I mean, you kind of, as a player, you don't really think about that all that too much. It'd just be incredible to go and play against them. And also, if I was to perform or get a few runs in that series, you know, there's no better bowling attack to do it to. So I'm so up for that. And, you know, the way that this team play, you know, they've never played an Ashes series under this leadership or how this team plays cricket. And it would be interesting to see, you know, because they are such a good attack. But, you know, when you've got a bit more freedom behind you, it does make things a little bit easier.
As an opening batsman then, you know, who is that number one bowler in the world for you then to open a test match bowling attack? Who do you think that is at the moment?
Well,
and he can be English.
Right. Well, is it any bowler?
Any bowler in the world. Who would you go? Obviously, you'll enjoy the challenge of facing them, but who do you think is that best bowler in the world at the moment for test cricket?
Probably Pat Cummins. Yeah, I think he'd be tough. I mean, that whole attack, I've heard Josh Hazlewood's, you know, ridiculous to left-handers, so that's always good. I might have to turn around and bat right-handed against him.
easy enough.
But yeah, that, I mean, obviously they've got a gun off spinner, Nathan Lyon. I've faced him a few times. I mean, that whole attack is, you won't come up with against much tougher, I think, ever in cricket than those guys.
Well, it's going to be super exciting. I wish you all the very best for the rest of the Pakistan series and some big runs. But my final question that I ask every guest is, what does the word headstrong mean to you?
Oh, wow. It's a good question. I think it probably can mean numerous different things or different things to people. But I guess if I, like, related it to myself, it would be, you know, not letting kind of outside noise get involved in myself, just in the way, in the game that I play. You know, someone who's headstrong, I think, is someone who can put all that to the back of their mind and, you know, go out there and play the game as if it was just another game, which there's probably not many people who can do that all the time, if any, which is why in this sport it's extremely tough to do. But yeah, I think someone who kind of knows in their own head what gets the best out of them, and yeah, more importantly, doesn't let noise from the outside, you know, affect them.
Good answer, absolutely. Yeah, as I say, best of luck, Ben. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and we're excited for the next test.
It's my pleasure, mate. It was nice to speak to you.
And that concludes this episode of Headstrong. I'd like to say a huge thank you to Ben for joining me on the podcast, and also to Sixes Cricket for sponsoring the episode. Sixes have cricket, but not as we know it. They've reimagined the age-old game of cricket for the modern socialite. It's precision sports tech and a global leaderboard, meeting world-class hospitality so you can gather, celebrate and unite your team for laughter and healthy competition. And you can get 20% off net bookings valid in January and February by using the code HEADSTRONG20 on their website, Sixes Cricket. That's HEADSTRONG20 at sixescricket.com for 20% off net bookings valid in January and February. So I really hope you enjoyed this episode of Headstrong, and best of luck to the England team for the next two tests in Pakistan.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.